minute for Brian. Thank you, Jeffrey, for offering out the People Lift Brian Up right now during this incident that he had when we were in Montana. We were fishing and my daughter caught a fish and I said, get the net. And we were on this cliff and he kind of like, he didn't fall. He just hit it wrong. And he's popped his back or did something. So anyway, he's at our sports medicine doctor and then also our chiropractor and just trying to get readjusted. So pray for healing. And I know that our God is a good God and will answer those prayers. So I'm not worried about it, but I guess it could have been a lot worse. But anyway, I just am super honored to be here and to be speaking to you all over the world. I love the fact that we can now reach people from across the world. And I can see Jeffrey's face, who I haven't seen in a while. And that we could be with each other through modern technology. It's just amazing. And that we could be delivering a message that's not just got depth and weight, but meaning and purpose in our life. And what a more powerful step than prayer and meditation. The way that I know how to pray and meditate is today has been the single most important factor in my life to get me closer and cultivate this amazing relationship I have with God today. I choose to call God, my God has a name. And that's the God that I honor and worship and praise today. And so much has come out of that. You know, I don't want to sit here and read to you what, you know, I mean, I'm assuming that many of you know the step, prayer and meditation, that we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. I know that you know that. I know that you probably all know what pages that's on. I also want to let you know that when I first came into doing the work, the Big Book Awakening Way, I don't like to say BBA, by the way. I don't like to say that because there are people sometimes that come on these meetings and don't know what that means. And so I think it's really important that we don't emphasize BBA and say BBA. I know it's easier to say because it's just three letters, but it's really the Big Book Awakening. What we really are is a way to do the work as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And this work can be for anybody, you know, not just addicts and alcoholics. And that's how it started, but we've got Al-Anons, we've got other addictions and fixing, controlling, chaos, creating. The steps work for everybody. Prayer works for everybody. Meditation works for everybody. But we've just been fortunate enough, those of us who are addicts and alcoholics like myself, I don't know how many other addicts or alcoholics we have on this meeting, but for addicts and alcoholics like myself that were accustomed to this when we first came into AA, at least I was, but I thought that AA was going to be the solution to my problem. And that me just, you know, being a member of Alcoholics Anonymous was going to be, you know, all I needed to do was just quit drinking. I didn't come to AA so that I could get a closer contact with God. That wasn't that was not what I was here for, because that was not the idea of what I had AA was. See, because I had Alcoholics Anonymous in my life from years ago, you know, when I first got sober back in the early 80s, when I was seven. But no, I'm just kidding. But back in the early 80s, when I was like at age, let's see, I was 20 years old when I first got into NA and AA. And I saw a different type of recovery that was going on where people didn't share in meetings unless they had done the work. And you sat and you listened and your sponsor, and there was amazing sponsorship back in those days. But because I was so young and Alcoholics Anonymous, I just didn't really see the physical part of this disease. I really didn't see the need for a God or a higher power. I didn't really see the need for prayer and meditation. I was basically comparing my outsides with everybody else's insides. And I didn't get a DUI. I didn't have, you know, car wrecks. I didn't have like, you know, problems in personal relationships. At least I didn't think I did. Actually, I did. But, you know, I was just basically comparing your circumstances with mine. And my circumstances were not as bad as yours. And that is not what qualifies me to be an alcoholic is circumstances. Your circumstances and my circumstances don't qualify me to be an alcoholic. What I learned was that I have a physical addiction to alcohol. And I didn't see that. I didn't see that. So then once I got into AA 20 years later, because I basically relapsed for 20 years, I got back in here in 2005 and And for 4 years in AA, I thought that just occupying a seat was all I needed to do. I went through the steps as a process and a checklist, and that's what I thought I needed to do. Just check each step off, including step 11. And I thought, well, you know, I go to church, so that's good. You know, so that I can check that off. I don't need to read what the big book has to say about prayer and meditation. I don't need to do that. I just need to check it off because, you know, I have a few memorized prayers that I say. And listen, the only good thing that came out of the first 4 years of Alcoholics Anonymous for me was the fact that I didn't pick up, but I was living like I needed a drink. I was dry. I was living like I needed to, because I wasn't applying the spiritual set of tools set before my feet to my life. And one of those very, very important set of tools, even though I went to church, see, I thought that just by plopping my butt in church, that saved me, right? I would live on the fact that a little bit of faith gets my soul to heaven, but a lot of faith, what I learned was what puts heaven in my soul. And a lot of faith comes from a lot of prayer and meditation. So at 4 years sober, I was batshit crazy and suicidal with no alcohol in me and no drugs in me, like crazier than I ever have been, like living like I needed a drink and I might as well have been drinking. And I probably would have ended up drinking had I not been saved by this program, by the big book awakening. Which was through Alcoholics Anonymous. So just so that we know a little bit of history behind that, the way that we do the work is the way that they've been doing the work for those who really work it since the 50s. They were writing in their big book, and I didn't know this. You know, I was belonging to a bunch of open discussion meetings, and open discussion meetings were not getting me anywhere. Open discussion meetings were not teaching me that I needed to pray and meditate on a daily basis. Open discussion meetings were telling me that I couldn't say God or Jesus in a meeting. Open discussion meetings were telling me that, you know, that I'm only allowed to say higher power. Like it was crazy. You know, it was crazy. I was, and I couldn't understand. So I belonged to another 12-step program in my church called Celebrate Recovery. So I'd go to AA and Celebrate Recovery. And what was so ironic is the two really should be one. The two really should be one. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. The difference was with Celebrate Recovery, they didn't really nail down the first step. So I'm not going to get into that. So anyway, so I found at 4 years sober, I heard this woman speak named Tyler. I don't know if some of you know my story. I heard her speak, and I heard something I'd never heard in anybody before. I heard recovery, and I followed this woman around, and she took me through the work. And the first thing she had me do when I started to do the work, I thought that I was going to start on step one. I knew what I needed to do is redo the steps. What she told me in the very beginning is she said, you know, you're suffering from present day agnosticism. And I'm like, I was very offended because I went to church that, you know, I wasn't agnostic. But when she told me the definition of what agnosticism and atheism is, and by the way, that chapter is titled what? We agnostics. It's not titled We Atheists, because a lot of us come in here not necessarily as atheists. And yes, some of us do come in as atheists, but the majority of us come in agnostic. Agnostic means I believe that something's out there. It's just not a relationship with me. And why would he care about me anyway? You know, like there's a disconnect between something higher than me, right? And that's exactly where I was. I was present day agnostic. And a part of this process is I need a humbling experience. I need to be humbled, you know, because I come in here with my pride and me thinking that, you know what, I'm not drinking. So y'all should just be just happy and grateful that I'm just not drinking anymore. So there, you know, everybody should worship and praise me because I haven't picked up a drink. And that was really my attitude, you know, because my alcoholic ego made me think that I'm just so great because I'm not drinking anymore. You know, and what I needed to do is I needed to be humbled. And that's the process of the steps. If I don't have a gut level experience with the first step along with 2 through 12, I am never going to see the importance of a power greater than myself that can manage my life. I'm never going to see the importance of God being the sole director of my life. He's the director, I'm the actor. He is the father, I'm the child. I am never going to believe that because I need a humbling experience. And I never had a humbled experience that broke down my ego when I went through the work any other way, because it was a checklist and there was no purpose behind it. And there was no drive behind it. There was nothing behind it other than words on a piece of paper and me answering yes and no. That is not how Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12 steps were designed, so that we can cultivate a relationship with a power greater than ourselves. That's the whole goal of this. The whole goal of going through these steps is so that we can be recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. There's nowhere in the big book that says we're always recovering, except in the family after. The family after is recovering. We as addicts and alcoholics, Al-Anons, gamblers, debtors, whatever, food, whatever, we can be recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. That's the hope that this book delivers to us. And I never saw it there before. I never saw it there before before December 2009. I never saw that. I thought that I was just supposed to sit there and not drink. Go to meetings and not drink. Just don't drink no matter what were the things that I was hearing. And when I found Tyla in 2009 and started going through this work, you know what the first step was that she took me through? The first step that she told me to do was 11. I'm like, wait a minute, that's out of sequence. How am I supposed to do 11? I got to do 1 through 12. You're starting with 11. Actually, she had me start with 10 and 11. And when I work with people that have done the work before, I make them start with 10 and 11. Chapter, right? 85 through 88, read 85 through 88. When I work with people that have never done the work with before, I tell them to start with 11. I say, go to the bottom of page 85 and start where it says in italics, step 11. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy in this matter. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works when we have the proper attitude. And the proper attitude, I think we find on page 65, right? When we set aside our prejudice. If I have the proper attitude, because in step 2, the proper attitude is what? To lay aside our prejudice about God, about religion, about anything, right? Set it aside, right? And that's where we get the set aside prayer from. God, help me set aside everything I think I know for an open mind and a new experience about you, God. Just let me set it aside. It's not saying get rid of it and throw it away. It's saying set it aside so I can be a little bit more open-minded, because I've allowed a few really bad trees to spoil the whole forest for me, haven't I? I've allowed a few crazy Christians to stand on their pedestals and tell me I'm going to hell, right? Don't listen. Listen, those are people. That's not God. I always think of that too. I think about those, you know, those people that stand on the street corner and go, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. I think to myself, like, I think of God looking down from heaven and just going like this. Like, no. Like, you know, like, you're just doing this all wrong, right? We need to be a program of attraction, not promotion, right? A program of attraction, not promotion. I need to set aside those things. I need to set aside people. I need to set aside buildings, because those do not always represent who God is. I need to discover God on my own. And one of the ways and one of the avenues and pathways to do that is practicing step 11 on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis sometimes, on a minute-to-minute basis sometimes. I love where it says here, what used to be a hunch or occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. You know where it says that on the top of 87? I thought about that and meditated on that for a number of years. And you know what that says to me? That as clear as I can speak to God. See, because when I sit in prayer and meditation, my prayers aren't anything that I've memorized. God does not want to hear me say the Lord's Prayer over and over and over again. I grew up Catholic, all right? So I know what it's like to go into confession. You go into confession and then the priest says, go say 10 Hail Marys and 13 Our Fathers. And you know, when I sit in prayer and meditation, I don't say the Lord's Prayer. I don't say memorized prayer because he wrote it. He knows it. Why would I be repeating something that you know what I'm saying? So he doesn't want to hear what's in my mind and what I've memorized. He wants to hear what's in my heart. So when I talk to God, it doesn't have to be anything formal. It doesn't have to be, I talk to God like I'm talking to you. I pray to God like I'm praying to you. And one of the things that I do, a culture of faith produces produces fruit of blessing. So I have to be able to be in a position to where I'm filled with praises. You know, I sit in prayer and I praise God and thank him for what I have. I thank him for what I have and thank him for what he's going to give me. Because by praising God helps us win our battles. Because isn't that what we have? It says on page 45 that's what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself that's going to help you solve your problems, right? God's going to solve my problems. And I don't know what our problem, like, just because I've removed alcohol doesn't mean I don't have problems. We all know that. Just because I've removed the drugs doesn't mean I don't have problems anymore. Problems are going to happen. Periods of trial and tribulation, I'm going to go through that regardless if I'm sober. But I'm certainly going to need something much bigger than a doorknob, much bigger than an ocean. I've never seen an ocean get anybody sober. And yes, you can praise the ocean. I admire the ocean. I don't worship the ocean. I worship the one who created the ocean. Because I need a big God, you know, because I got some big problems sometimes. You know, at least I think they're really big. To God, they're not. And I want a God that looks at my problems and goes, that's nothing. You know, that's nothing. And what this book is telling us is that it's given us the ability to cultivate a relationship with God as we go through steps 2 through 12, and we contact God through step 11 by sitting in prayer. 5 more minutes, Lena. How many?
5 more minutes.
Yes. Okay. Boy, it was fast, huh? Sorry if I'm like rattling. But what this gives, it gives us the ability to cultivate this relationship with God. Listen, the book's also going to suggest some things too. Like, how do I know when it is, what used to be a hunter-occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. I want to go back to that. Because what that is as much as I sit and talk with God and I don't memorize prayer with God, I talk to God like a friend, right? Bill describes God as a friend. I talk to God like a friend, and I talk to God. I praise him for what he's done. I praise him for my heart beating today, if that's all I've got. I praise him for my kids being healthy. I praise him for all the wonderful things and thank him for all those things. And then I have my requests and then I talk to God, right? But that time of meditation is that time where that occasional hunch, right? Because this is what the book's talking about. What used to be a hunch or occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Basically what it's saying is what used to be me talking, or maybe the opposite of God talking to me and telling me to do certain things, you can call them whatever you want. I like to call them the devil or the enemy. Now becomes God working in my mind. See, anytime that I put anything mind altering into my body, if I were to put anything mind altering into my body, that gives the enemy permission to talk to me and to go up in that committee in my head. Anytime that I push God aside, I push something else in, and I push an enemy spirit in me. And that's what I believe. This is where I come from, and this is what I believe. So when I'm sitting in prayer and meditation with God in the morning and in the evening and all through the day, and I'm chatting with him all throughout the day, I'm only allowing God to enter into my mind. And so that way, when I know, do I take this job? I can know that the decision that I think was once a hunch now becomes a working part of the mind, a working part of God in my mind. Now I know that God is the one that's directing me down this path. Because where can I find that in any of my readings that I do? I know that now that what my intuition, because women, I see a lot of girls on here, we're extremely intuitive. That's a gift from God. We are extremely intuitive. And I think that's just a natural thing that God inputs in us, because we're mothers, you know, and we're able to bear children. And so we have that intuitive thing is a gift from God. And it's also a gift from God that we get to, our superhuman power is that we get to make babies. You know, that's amazing. Like no other gender gets to do, we get to do that. Guys don't get to do that. Sorry, that's Tyler calling me. Men don't get to do that, but we do. And that's one of the benefits that we have to being female, is that we get to hear from that intuition. We're close. I'm not saying that men aren't that way too, but that's one of the great gifts, is being able to listen and hear what's God's direction for me. But that only comes when I spend my time cultivating a relationship with God in the prayer and meditation. Step 11, if you're working with new people and you're starting them through the work, make them pray and meditate. It tells us in the book, listen, look to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they have to offer. I'm not telling you to be religious. I am not a religious person. I'm going to tell you right now, I am not religious. What I have is a relationship with God. My relationship with God is not religious. I have this personal relationship with God, right? Through Christian philosophy and theology. But I also want you to know, it also says that look to see people of faith have a logical idea of what life is about. People of faith. So build yourself alongside people and find just, if you have a sponsor, find a sponsor who's spiritually filled, right?
1 minute, wrap up when you need to, but just one
okay.
minute.
Okay, all right. And like I said, it's the praising of God that wins our battles. I also heard something the other day that said a spirit-filled culture can find anyone like who is lost. So for me to be spiritually filled, on whatever level that means for you, but to be spiritually filled and to be able to cultivate a relationship with God through prayer and meditation, which is what this step tells us to do, is and suggests for us to do, is probably the most important step that we have to practice every single day. 10's important too. I'm not talking that they're all not important, but this is the most important step that needs to be with us. And needs to, for me, needs to be with me at every moment. My life has made a 180 degree change since the day that I found the Big Book Awakening until today. Like my life in every area of my life has been revolutionized by just this step alone. I used to thank God for bringing me to Alcoholics Anonymous, and today I thank Alcoholics Anonymous and the Big Book Awakening for bringing me closer to God. That's all I have. Thank you so much.
Let's see here.